All right, so this first one we're going to read here, this is a scripture from Colossians, and Brother Branham read it somewhere in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed there, paragraph 98. He starts on the 15th verse of the first chapter of Colossians. Who is the image of the invisible God? He's talking about Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God? Remember when Jesus said, have I been with you so long and you asked to see the Father? If you see me, you see the Father. And so here in Colossians is Paul talking about it. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now, what does that mean? You think about that. He's the firstborn of all the creatures. And Jesus wasn't born until 4,000 years after all these other people was born. So what does it mean when it says he's the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. So people ought to realize then, ought to start to realize who Christ is at this point. For by him are all things created, and yet here he is being born, and he's the firstborn of all, of everything. For by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. By him and for him. So all things, he's going deep. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's still talking about Christ being the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminences. In all things, not just some of them, not just for some time, but in all things have preeminences. Not just be an image of God, but be expressed image of God. God expressing it. That's what preeminence means. He has preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should be all fullness dwelt. Should all fullness dwell. And so we're going to take this first quote from Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. This is where I got the title. I titled it yesterday, When They Let the Word Move Through Them. See, Jesus, so seen it, so was so perfectly born for the day. Now, don't miss that. He was born for that day. And what does that say about God and how God does things? He has every piece of it laid out. And Jesus was born for this day, and he was born to perfectly see the hour. And I've said it a bunch of times about that picture I bought Brother Gerald about that eagle. There's something about that eagle when he was looking down his eye at you. You could almost look into his eyes and see there was no doubt whatsoever. That eagle knew what he was capable of. And it made you think about that time Brother Branham said that the eagle was sitting over there and that squirrel just hollering at him, jumping in. And he said he could hit his wings once or twice and be gone from the chatter anytime he wanted. So he knew right where he was at all times. And when he's talking about Jesus here, he's trying to describe that sort of thing. Jesus was so seen it so perfectly, born for the day, until, because he so seen it, because he was born for this day, because predestination was there and it was taking place, until God expressed every move that he made. Think about that. He said it himself. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, but it's the Father that dwelleth in me. He's the one that does the works. This was a revelation. This was the first time a man ever could say that. Mm-hmm. That I do nothing unless the Father first shows me. Until God expressed every move that he made. He was God's revelation, God revealed. So in order for us to have the revelation, and what are we born by? We're born by revelation. We're born by the word when it's made manifest. Brother Branham said that it was in God's mind, and then he spoke it, and it come out through his prophets. And then when it come out through his prophets, like Isaiah, it went around and around until it went into the womb of a virgin. It went into the womb of Mary. That was that one. But also, the same word come around, and it landed there whenever Jesus was born. It also, when they come down to the temple, Anna and Simeon, it landed with them too. See, they'd done been promised they would see that scripture. And when God interpreted the scripture, see, it's when he interpreted it, that's when they saw it. And that's when people are responsible for it at that point. Brother Branham said that whenever there was the Sadducees and the Pharisees, when they had their idea of how Jesus was going to be when he come. When he come, he was going to do this, he was going to do that, and all these other things. Brother Ram said that was fine for them to have those ideas and those thoughts and those, but they needed to lay them down when God interpreted them. And he said when Jesus walked on the grounds, the interpretation of the prophet's words, they had to lay those down and take the interpretation that was walking around in front of them. And when they wouldn't do that, then he said they become accountable for it. Then, see, what was called into question was, what's your idea of the scriptures and what's God's idea of the scriptures? Because God will always take his idea of the scriptures and he'll walk it in front of you. And will you take it or not? That's the thing. And he done it. And this day he's walked him in front of us, in front of the entire world. It sits on the internet. It's been sitting there for how long? They can stream it 24/7. They can read it 24/7. And yet, what the internet chooses to do is mock him. Mm-hmm. And these people that say that they're Christians, mocking him. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Never tried to take any money from people. Never tried to be a womanizer. Never tried to take power. Nothing. Okay. Poured his life out on the roads, going back and forth for this message, and yet that's what they choose to do with him. And everybody who listens to that stuff on the internet and follows after that, they've chose to do the same thing with him. So that was not in the message, but it's in the message, okay? That wasn't what I was going to talk about, but now he sanctified with his spirit and blood a church that he might make every promise in this last day be revealed. You see what he did? He said Jesus so seen it that he was God and God could express every move back there. And now he sanctified it with his spirit and blood, a church that he might make every promise. That he sanctified it so that he might make every promise in this last day revealed. He had to sanctify it first, and then he was going to make every promise in this last day revealed. Now see, he could go back, pick up what the other fellas has left off here in the last days, and by his Holy Spirit reveal all the mystery of the seven seals. Okay. So after that, see, after he sanctified by his spirit and blood, he was going to reveal everything for this last day. And what did Brother Branham say was for the last day? He said that when we, this last service, we talked about how that when he read that scripture, I can't remember the scripture now, but he read the scripture in the temple and he stopped. Isaiah 61, that's what it was. And he stopped there, and then the rest of it, he said, was for today, which he said was judgment.
Right.
And how did he say judgment was going to take place? He said judgment, he's going to set her up and say, this is her. Mm-hmm. And he said that in the last day that she is going to fulfill everything that was wrote about Jesus for the last day, because she's doing it in his name. God is doing it through her, the same as he done it in Christ. That's the only way it could be the last part of it fulfilled. See, he is expressing himself. That's his purpose. His whole purpose always has been to express himself. And that's made evident when you see Jesus right there. Because Jesus, Brother Branham said, if you see Jesus, you see the Father. And so the way God was going to show himself was a man. God chose that a man portrayed him the way he wanted to be portrayed. That's his purpose. That's why he died. So that he could have that purpose. Does that mean it could only happen if he died? Let's see. That's why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ. He just talked about that. Then express himself through the church in the same way that he could express himself through Christ. And the same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. So see there, he sanctified by his blood that church so that the Word would go through them again. See, back there in the garden, Adam and Eve, they weren't sinful. The Word, they could let the Word go through them. But then something happened before the Word was expressed. And then I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. And the reason you look back there is because Brother Branham talked about it, but also because it reveals how powerful what is happening now is taking place. But when they accept a hybrid denomination, that's exactly what he said Eve done, how can the Word go through it? And if the Word can't go through it, it can't express what's in there. It's grounded. Then it causes a short and blows a fuse. See that seed, that predestination that God had put in there, now it couldn't come forth. It has not come forth yet, and it couldn't come forth. It's grounded. Then it causes a short and blows a fuse, see? But when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do, shall you be also. Yeah. The works that I do, shall you be also. Yeah. And in the last days, it shall come to pass. Behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And so, look here what he says about this. Now, we've read this many times, but we'll get to some that we haven't went over here. The birth of the church was at Pentecost. As the first Adam was given a bride fresh from the hand of God and was undefiled for a brief span, so was Christ, the last Adam, given a bride pure and fresh at Pentecost, and she remained separate and undefiled for some time. And if you'll go back and you'll do a study, you'll see that Brother Branham talked about how that they had the faith, not a faith. They had the faith. And when Peter was asked about the one that was healed there at the gate, and he told him, he said, it was the faith. He said, such as I have, give I thee. And he said, he had the faith. And if they wanted to receive Christ, they could receive Christ. And so they were walking undefiled. They had the word they'd been given, and they were walking in that. Mm-hmm. But before it could bring forth, let's see what happens. I'm not going to read those scriptures. You can read those. How long this continued, we do not know. But one day, even as Eve was tempted and seduced by Satan, so the church was contaminated by the entrance of an Antichrist spirit. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And this is in John. And Jesus said concerning his bride, in that first age, there was already something wrong in the first age. So he can't just take it back and that's done. He's got to take it back and there's more after that. What is the more? We'll see what Brother Bram says. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And who is thy first love? The faith. And what is the Malachi for to restore? The faith. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen and repent. So he restores this way of following God totally by faith. Not any other way, because that's where Satan seduced him. Watch what he talks about here. The church was in the first age, already a fallen woman. As Satan had gotten to Eve before Adam, even now had Satan seduced the church. And what did he seduce him with? The bride of Christ before the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what specifically was in her midst that caused the fall? What but Revelations 2:6, the deeds of the Nicolaitans in its infancy was already there. Already that first age had turned from following the pure word of God. They had turned from the faith. Just maybe they followed in the faith all the time, but then one spot they stopped and they took their own idea or their own thought. See, so small and so seemingly harmless, they'll step away and they turn from God's demand. This is what they turn from, even in a little bit. They turn from God's demand of a church absolutely dependent upon Him, dependent entirely upon God to fulfill His word. From the start to the finish, apart from human government, whether it's my government of me, or your government of you, or a bishop that's a government of this or that, to Nicolaitanism, that's what they turn to, which is organizing a human government within the church, which was all governments, which all governments do, legislate for the people. See, they decide what the people should do. Instead of them, with the Holy Spirit, taking the word and let the Holy Spirit bring it to pass in them. They stepped away and started to bring it to pass just a little on their own. Legislate for the people. They did exactly what Israel did. Remember what Israel did? They had prophets, and the prophets told them what to do. And every time they went into war, they didn't have a king out there, so they didn't look like the rest of them when they went about their everyday life. And Brother Bram said, a man that's caught up in that spirit with Christ, he looks crazy to the world. Because he's like, I'll pray about it. I'll wait on God on it. He told me to do this. This is what I'm doing. Well, that's crazy. But that's what he told me to do. The scripture says this, and this is what I feel like he told me to do. And so they didn't like that because they look different from the world. The world, they step out and they take what they want. They go get it. They make it happen, you know. They don't ask God about nothing. They just do it. And I remember sometime years ago when Brother Holmes was talking about that man that at work, he'd done all these things and worked real hard and got this stuff. And Brother Holmes said, well, the Lord has really blessed you. He said, the Lord didn't do it. He said, I worked myself to the bone and all these other things. Yeah. They don't, it's like, yeah, but who gave you strength?
That's right.
Who woke you up in the morning and gave you drive and purpose? Yeah. Who gave you all your legs and your feet? Who gave you everything you got? Mm-hmm. And they don't see it. Mm-hmm. I took it. It's me. Mm-hmm. And that in a little bit is not dependent on the Lord. Mm-hmm. Brother Branham said that when God made man, he made man to depend on him. And that's where man got off when he stopped. So let's look here at this one next verse here in harvest time. Now, we're just looking for what day we're living in. Because we want to live by that day and that message, right? The harvest time. But Ram says this is the harvest time. Then God, after Adam had failed tried by the word and failed, God continued in his creation to try to find a man who would live every word. Because a man, when he lived every word, why did he want to know that? Why did he want to find that? Because his word said, man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when that man lives by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, that's harvest time. That's the word. It's been fulfilled and brings its purpose. And in creation, to try to find a man who would live every word. Now look, he tried to find a man that is, lived the word for his age. He couldn't get one to live it for his age even. Now you see, God scattered his word out because he could. He's infinite. He's omnipresent. And being omnipresent, knowing all things, he can be present everywhere. Because that's the way he predestinates us, by foreknowledge. Not because he desired that this person should be saved and this one lost. See, that throws people off, because the scripture says that he's not willing that any should perish. But then he turns right around and he said, no man can come to me unless my Father draws him. So you're like, well, if a father has to draw him, then how is he not willing that some should perish and some shouldn't? And this answers the question when Brother Branham says, by his foreknowledge, not because he desired that, but because he knew who would and who would not. Not because he desired that this person would be saved and this one lost, but he knew who would be lost and who would be saved. Therefore, by his foreknowledge, he can predestinate. He can make a way for us. And he makes everything work to his glory. That's what his attributes are doing, displaying to his glory. And that's how you can, every time, even the fall in the garden, even when Abraham done what he done and said Sarah was his sister, and even when Elijah cursed those children and he killed all those children, even all these different things you can see, and when Elijah ran, they did all these different things. God was still in all of that. When they were still not coming to all of that, he was still making it all work, still making it reflect him, still bringing his word through the whole thing. So displaying to his glory, because these men had God's attribute in them. And God was still using them in the way he could use them. That's what his attributes are doing, displaying to his glory, one vessel of honor and one of dishonor. But it's God that maketh, not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And he showed mercy where it says, I'll show mercy where I will. And where he will was that he was not willing that any should perish. But he knew who would and who would not. Amen. I think we're clear on all that. No man can come to me, said Jesus, except my Father draws him. And all the Father hath. And who are they coming to? Christ. Yes. And until Christ has been born on the scene, every name on the Lamb's Book of Life, that name on the Lamb's Book of Life is drawn to Christ. So Christ has to be manifest first. Then you can be drawn to him. See, he can talk about Christ. And when the very first time there in the garden, when he told Adam and Eve, he said, don't take of this tree. What is he saying? Don't mix this. Don't add your idea to it. Take what I said. This is the way you should live. Don't touch this tree. That is Christ. Because Christ is the separator. He's the one that separates us from everything else. And all that the Father hath, past tense, given to me, will come to me, to the Word. So whenever Jesus come on the scene, he was that was given in the garden, but now it had become flesh. See, it proved it. Yes. See, this was the man that was walking down the street and his head didn't turn off to the world. His head didn't go this way. He didn't speak out something that wasn't so. He didn't go make and try to do something that wasn't. He walked all the way down through all of these six people with everybody's opinions about what he should be doing and what he should and how he should act. He walked down to the one that would receive it No man can come to me unless my Father draws him and give him his healing and walk back out. He didn't walk by anybody's idea. And you can get an idea of what was going on, because you look at the very things that when he went to the wilderness to be tempted, what Satan tried to tempt him with. He tried to appeal to his humanness. He tried to, you know, you don't have to die. I'll just give it to you. Mm-hmm. If you'll just bear down and worship me, yeah, you won't have to die. I'll just give it to you. And on, you know, trying to get him to interpret the word and not let God. Mm-hmm. And see, Jesus proved that he was God in him interpreting it to the world. Here was the divider. Okay. Here was the one that declared the word in the world. The one that was the word that was spoken back there in the garden, the word that was spoken in all the prophets. Here he is making it before the people. Yes. So to me, that's the most glorious thing ever. And maybe not the most glorious thing, because he continued, because we were in him. Yeah. And so that's where it went after that. And all the Father hath, past tense, given to me, will come to me, to the word. He's already given them. Brother Bram's pointing that out. How can they come unless they were foreordained to come? And where were they foreordained? He said he slipped the wedding band of unmerited grace on their finger. So if it was a wedding band of grace, they had to come by Christ, not by their own way. And if you look, there is no heir. There is no heir to that book, to that inheritance, other than Jesus Christ. And we're made heirs to it by him. That's the thing. And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. See, there's that predestination. That ear. If you have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. That was it. Give him the ear. He gave him the time in which the ear would work. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. See, because their names were on the book. He come to redeem what was on the book. In Revelations, we find out that when the seals was opened, there was a book. And him that sat upon the throne, God, had it in his right hand. He had this book. And we know how it got back there. And there wasn't nobody in heaven or in earth or anywhere was worthy to come and take the book. And what was the book? It was our inheritance.
Yes.
And if we can't come take the book because we can't live the word, mm-hmm, because we can't even recognize the word after being fallen creatures and born into this world that way, then how can we come take the book? We can't. And there was nobody in heaven or in earth or anywhere was worthy to come take the book or even to look on it. And John wept with great, because the whole book of redemption was there. It was at the meeting the other night that little brother, assembly brother of God brother, that sister sang the song, "I wonder if John saw me." When he saw all the nations gathered, did he see me? Sure, he did. If your name was on that book, John's name was on it too, and he wept because there was nobody could touch it. And then one of the elders come and said, "Was nobody was come touch it." Adam and Eve were given the opportunity to, if they would live the word. That was the condition that they had, that if they would live the word. And when one of the elders come and said, "Weep not, John, for the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And John was looking around to find a lion, and out from behind the curtains come a lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. Here comes forth what God had in his mind. See, the second part of the first and second part of the secret that he had in the back of his mind. And when he saw a bloody lamb come out, and he come and took the book out of the right hand of him and called everything that was on that book. Remember what Brother Bram said he done when he loosed the seals? What was the first thing he done? He turns and calls for his bride to come and be by his side. For everybody was on that name, that Lamb's Book of Life. He called for them to come. It's the complete book of redemption. And this is it, the book of redemption. He redeemed all was in that book, not out of the book, all that was in the book. Anything that had a beginning has an end. But if you've got eternal life, you never did begin and you cannot end. Because you're sons and daughters of God, attributes of His thoughts and His word, and you have no ending of life if your name is on that book. Because that was your life. That's God thinking of you before the foundation of the world. And He was going to get that life to you and bring you into expression. You have no ending in life if your name is on that book. The Lamb come to redeem it. Not all that profess Christians, not all that try to live good and holy. See, it's not just living good and holy. But those whose names are written on there, He redeemed that, and that alone, whose names were on the book. Now we find out that Satan caused Adam to fall by that one word. And God continued on now in His creation to try to find one man who would live by every word. Because some man's got to come take this book. Man can't do it himself now. So somebody has to come take it for him. And God continued on now in His creation to try to find one man who could live by every word. His first man failed to live by every word. And this man would live his time, his age that he lived in. Now see, there's the difference. Ages that God prophesied from the beginning, which would take place all down. That's the reason He could tell the end from the beginning, is because He knew all things. He made all things by Jesus Christ. All things were made by Jesus Christ and for Him and for His own pleasure. Notice closely now, don't miss it. What if Moses would have come and tried to bring Noah's message? Now you see, when he's getting into these things, now you see these in a different light. When he says Moses, Moses comes and tries to Noah's message, it's not going to work.
Right.
Why? Because God got what He wanted out of Noah. Now He's got something in Moses, and He's going to get that out of Moses. There's no way that what come out of Noah is going to work, because something's coming out of Moses now. And now, what does that mean about the bride? He's going to get it. He's going to get what He wants out of a bride in this day. It wouldn't have worked. Couldn't, no. What if Jesus would have been bringing Moses' message? It wouldn't have worked. What if we come trying to bring the Methodist message, Baptist message, or the Pentecostal message? It wouldn't work. They were fine. Prove that in a minute by the word. They were all right in their age. The age is gone. It's gone. Mm-hmm. God's doing something different now. Mm-hmm. God never quit doing anything.
Right.
So He's doing something different. That age is gone. We got to find out what the Scripture says for today. So the Scripture says something for today. And what a blessed people. We got a prophet whom the word comes to in our midst. And that people, if you play him down in the least, I feel sorry for you. What got to find out? We got to find out what the Scripture says for today. This day, that's what man is to live by for his age. Yeah. He tried to find a man that would live the whole word. The whole word. Because the whole word is God.
Yes.
And that's what he proved when Jesus came. The whole word was God. All right. So, we're going to get the tail end of that first quote that we read earlier on Christ the mystery of God revealed. And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church, have the preeminences, there would be a time that this would happen. It wasn't there in the first church age, because they started to turn away. It wasn't in any of the church ages. He had preeminence for that message, but there's going to be one where he can have the full preeminences. Remember what Brother Ram said, churches, churches, bride, brides, but there has to come one. Oh my, what? The anointed man, now the anointed people. Now he's identifying this church that he has preeminence in. We'll let the plane go by. Helicopter. So, the anointed man, now the anointed people. You see how he keeps, and he'll go and get Christ, and then he'll talk about the bride. Christ and the bride, Christ and the bride. He keeps doing it over and over, and he's doing it in just a little different light, a little different thing as he goes all down through that message is what he's talking about. The anointed man, now the anointed people. Oh my, bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom. Bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom. Anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down in Adam. Coming back, when they let the word go through them, then it becomes the word expressed. But they didn't. They stopped short. What Eve turned down in Adam, coming back with the anointing of the word, because he said, my word is spirit. See, anointed with the word. What Eve turned down, he comes back and we accept. So we have to go back to being that sinless. That's the redemption part. Yes. But there was another step back there that they had to take. They had to keep the word, because keeping the word give them rights to the eternal life. And God knew when he gave that covenant to Adam, he said that covenant was not eternal. He said, because when he gave him that, now think about it. He gave him eternal life based on what he would do. And Brother Ram said that was not eternal because it was based on man. The only thing eternal is when it's based on God. So Brother Ram said when he started to make man again, he went back to Abraham and he said, I've already done it. And that promise produced Christ, which produced the thing, the being that God would draw us all by. The door that would draw us all to him. All right, so let's go over into Ephesians. I didn't mention some of these quotes, and so I might jump ahead on some of them. God's intention for his creation, man, is to express his words. Think about that. What do you think about that, Hope? When mom and dad come together and they had hope, and they started teaching Hope the right thing, what did they want you to do? They wanted you to do what they said so that you would be right. And they want you to express the things that they told you. And God had in his mind the way he thought a man should be, because it was going to reflect him. Yes. It was going to be him expressing himself. Amen. So you think about that. When you go out here and you start doing things, and if you like be mean to somebody, or something like that. Like when I was little, I was kind of bratty and I was mean to people sometimes. That wasn't what my mom and dad wanted. That wasn't what they told me. That wasn't what they wanted me to express. And see, that's what happened there in Adam and Eve. They didn't do what God told them to. And they started expressing something else. But God was going to have what he said he was going to have. He was going to have man that showed who he was. And so that's what his intention for his creation man was, to express his words. And he was going to do it in them. In Genesis, Adam was given the word to live by, and a life lived by the word would be the word expressed. So there's the definition. A life lived by the word would be the word expressed. Is that not true? He says. But did Adam live by that word? No. Because he was to live by every word, and he failed. That's the simple definition. We don't have to go recreating and redoing things in the message to make it something different. So then Moses come along and he failed God. And all the different ones, Noah failed God, David failed God. But he said he failed him by adultery when he was tempted. But eventually, so God had all these sons coming forth. And because of sin, they're not doing what he wants. In some part they are. Because think about David when he walked up to the top of the mountain there. And he started speaking those words, how oft would I have hovered you? And then when he's speaking, he sung that song, my bones, they stare at me. See, the words of God were coming through these men. Even though they weren't coming the fullness, the types that God was showing in their lives and the words he was letting them utter and the prophets utter and things, he was still doing it. And then finally, after that happens, he says, but eventually in the fullness of time, there came one, the head, even Jesus, who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now we read in the scripture where whenever John was down at the river that day and he baptized Jesus, that the light come down, the dove, the Holy Spirit come down and anointed him. And we read that what happened was he went out into the wilderness to be tempted. So who faced that temptation in Jesus? God. God is the one who manifested Christ. And that's how they know. See, the prophet come and said, they know that it has to be him in them bringing it to pass. Who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then Satan was fooled. Mm-hmm. He'd not been fooled ever before. He'd managed to break through every wall and every defense so far. But now, it was different. I read a quote the other day, Brother Bram was talking about that man was altogether different. I had to go get that quote sometime and read it to you. It's really good. Talking about Jesus. Then Satan was fooled. For here was one who lived by, it is written. He lived by that. That's what come forth from him was it is written. Not just in words, but in his whole life, his actions. That masterpiece of God overcome by reflecting God's word. Then was the manifested perfect one give to the cross as the perfect Lamb of God for the perfect sacrifice. And on the tree he received wounds unto death, that we, how? By him and because of him, might eat of the tree of life. And then that life, freely given to us, would enable us to overcome and express the word of God. Now, was there two ways that was going to happen? There was only one way that was, because God expresses his own word. Always and forever, God expresses his own word. All right. So I put a little note in there about what he told that woman at the well. He said, if I give you water, if I, Jesus Christ, give you water, you'll never thirst again. See, if God gives you the drink, if he gives you of the tree, you'll never thirst again. Who is the tree? That was the tree. He was right there in front of her. If I give you of to eat, and why is the I in there? Because he told Adam, you can partake of the tree. Just don't break your word. If I, Jesus Christ, the manifested tree of life, give you the water, then you will never thirst again. And now to these sons of God, whom by him overcome, are given the privilege of the paradise of God and the constant fellowship of Jesus Christ. There will never be any more separation from him. Whither he goes, his bride will go. And what is his, he shares with his beloved on a joint heir relationship. We're heirs with him. That was what was foreordained. That was our promise. That was our inheritance, that we would be heirs with him. Before the foundation of the world, Brother Branham said he chose us in him. So he had to reveal that. He had to reveal we were heirs with him. Joint heirs. We couldn't go get it. So he went and got it for us, and then we partake of him. Everything that God was, he poured into Christ. And everything Christ was, he pours into the bride. See that? That's so beautiful. No man could pull that out. No man could pull that out of the scripture. No man could put it in those men in the scripture. It's not possible. All right. So we're going to move on down here, and I'm going to close. Let's see. Let's go down to paragraph. Let's go down to Visible Union, paragraph 274, and about part of the way down there, Brother Branham talks about the bleeding word, and the bleeding word is what separated us. See, we couldn't separate ourselves, so he come and was the separation, and then we partake of him, and we were separated. The bleeding word separated us. The life of God in the word, and the word was bled for you, that you might be washed from the filth of these prostitutes. See what you were washed from? The filth of the prostitutes. The people who took one word off, who depended on themselves, who took Satan's gospel in some small way and tried to take it and make it religious and everything else. You're free from that filth of those prostitutes and are cleaned and sanctified by the washing of the water of the word. And it makes your mind and your heart stayed on God and his word. And in Christ, the mystery of God revealed still, but their folly will be made manifest. And he's talking about the churches and about the showdown at the very end. When Jesus takes his bride and he sets her up here and he says, this is her. Remember what he said about Jesus? When Jesus come down and the anointing come down on Jesus, he said, this is him. I've identified him. And he went off and started proving immediately. Nothing Satan could throw at him would stick. Nobody could pull him this way or that way because God was in him proving it. And then he does this. He comes down and he takes his bride and he sets her up here and he said, this is her. And away he goes with her. He took Jesus and he went away with Jesus. Now he takes her and he goes away with her. And their folly's made known. What did Brother Brown say is the message that's left for the day? His judgment. The message of Jesus. He left off that one part of Isaiah 61, which was judgment, Brother Brown said. And what did he say the bride does in this day? She fulfills that work that he left for today. That God in her fulfills this for today. So he comes and he makes her that church without spot and without wrinkle. Not one that lets Antichrist creep into her. Away he goes with her, and their folly is made known. Look at having the revelation of this secret made known to them by grace. When his great revelation, revealed mystery, is made known to you, you denounce all the things of the world. You know what they are and you denounce them all. Amen. Now let's go one more down here at the bottom. Now we've read this about the tree. So let's go down to Ephesians, the church age book. And we look at the two trees Brother Brown's talking about here. And he talks about those two trees have something to do with the relationship of man. And then he comes on down and he says, now the word most definitely sets forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share eternal life with man. So when he brings his purpose, is it going to have hiccups? No. It might look like it and throw Satan off many, many times. But It was never a hiccup, ever. God was going to share eternal life with man. Look how this life is going to be shared. But that life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in flesh. Now take that over to what he said about the tree. He talks about the fall there in order to give himself purpose, reason and purpose of being. And then go on down and he says, man could not directly come and partake of the tree in the midst of the garden. That eternal life of the tree had to become flesh first. It's so plain in the message. But before God could do that, before this eternal life of the tree could become flesh, there had to be a sinner. And so y'all know the rest of the story there. There's plenty of quotes in there you can go back through. And one of the most dear things is that where he says this harmony that was between the Father and the Son is to exist between the groom and his bride. Amen. That's where we're living at in this day. That's the greatest thing ever. Don't ever lay that down, Hope. None of us ever lay that down. Let's pray and we'll be closed. Father, we so are thankful for this word because it means so much to us to realize in this hour, Lord, that those words that say, this is her, Lord, that you working in your bride, and we're so thankful to be a part of it. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just bring it greater and greater and greater until it's all finished, Lord. We give you all thanks and praise now that you'll go with us, keep us safe today as we're out. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.